Hello, it's the podcast. It's a June, July podcast, and we will start off with, well, news about what's been going on the website thing, a bit of housekeeping first of all. We start off with the contact page on the main website at richardflintphoto.com, which has been altered. I was getting an awful lot of spam. In some cases, it was coming in at quite a rate, about every 2 or 3 hours. So I decided to put some spam filters in there, which sorted it out. And I've also broadened the page out to include other contact information as well and social media bits and pieces. It looks a lot better and it works a lot better. So that's the main thing. The second part of the update to the website was print sales. I've started selling work on 500px, which I think stands for pixels, but I'm not quite sure. So I'm going to call it 500px for this. But I started a page there a while ago, and I haven't really been using it. I've decided that I'm going to use it a lot more because I actually quite like it, and the community seems nice and friendly and things, and it's a great way of archiving work. So I've been placing plenty of Scottish work on there. That I shot last year. The 60 images all together, and there'll be more added over the coming weeks and months and things. And it's just a great way of showing the work and also being able to sell it. Because I'm selling work there, I've decided to add it to the links site on the print sales page. So there's four different ways now that you can buy work off of me. There's Redbubble, 500px, there's the photography print shop site, which hasn't been getting a lot recently, and I have been contemplating getting rid of it, but I don't think I will. I think I'll carry on with it and just add a little bit more work to it when I get back in September. Like I say, I was hovering over the delete button, and then I decided, you know, that it is quite a nice looking site and it just needs a bit more love and attention. So that's what it will get, and it's also a nice way of showing the work, and people can buy the work, and it's all you have to do is just look at the post, and if you like the picture and you want a print, you just say, oh, can I have a print of bloody blah shot from that post, and hey presto, I know exactly what you're talking about. And of course the final way is to email me directly and say that was a great shot on Darker Skies or wherever it is you saw it, can I have a copy, and hey presto, you know, pay me with whatever it is that you have, PayPal, whatever it is, and that way people can get the shot. So there's four different ways. And I think some of them are actually also beneficial depending on which area of the planet you're on. 500px definitely seems as though it's more American orientated than some of the other sites like Redbubble, who are Australian based, although they do send stuff out to the rest of the world. But I always think it's nicer if you're in the US, for instance, that you might want to buy it from a company that's operating in the United States. So that's the other benefit to it. Other than that, it's really just been doing a bit of tidying up and tweaking a few of the web links. The Google Plus page is going rather nicely. So far I've got 89 followers on there, and I'll be adding more work and things to that. Generally, social media is going quite nicely, so I will leave it at that. We will get on to the links. And we start off with a rather ghostly set of images by a photographer, Rebecca Litchfield. And she's been out to areas in the Soviet sphere of influence. She basically went around photographing the crumbling remains of communism in various countries, mainly in Russia, but in Bulgaria and various other different places that were under in the Soviet bloc. The first picture I absolutely adore. It's of a old steam locomotive, a Russian steam locomotive with the red star on the front. It wouldn't look out of place in Dr. Zhivago. Fantastic looking engine, it really is. And it probably wouldn't actually need that much work to get it going, but it's in this old, forgotten, abandoned locomotive shed. Beautiful image, the red star on the front of the engine still shining away like anything. I would imagine that there's probably some steam fanatics out there who go absolutely dizzy to get their hands on that and get it running again. But whether it does or not, I mean, hopefully one day someone will see it and say, yes, we need to get this running again. It'd be brilliant for appearances in films. I mean, the Russians are making a lot of war movies and movies about the era of Stalin and the war. And of course, you need props and vehicles and things from that period. And that train would certainly fit in. Absolutely beautiful shot. And there's also some other interesting work on there. Image number 4 especially stands out for me. If you can imagine, it looks like a scene actually from Close Encounters. It looks quite Spielberg in the way that it looks. And it's a communist monument perched atop a Bulgarian mountain that once hosted thousands of party members for mass rallies. And now all of the murals of hammers and sickles are cracking while sumptuous furnishings slowly decompose in a chilly mist. It's a very haunting image. It almost has a look of, you know, a giant mothership coming into land. It's a remarkable image. And, of course, getting access to these quite difficult, and in some cases she bumped into people who were carrying weapons, and she was arrested by military officials who accused her of spying and threatened 15 years in prisons for a transgression. But anyway, Rebecca sort of like managed to get out of it and photograph these places, which are, you know, slowly crumbling away. And just reflect really the sheer scale that communism worked in. If they ever built anything, it was built on such a huge scale to impress, mostly. And of course, as soon as communism failed, that was it. All of these things instantly became crumbling monuments, and it's just a matter of time. I mean, there's large holes in this communist monument on the Bulgarian mountain, and you can imagine that eventually the whole of the roof is probably going to collapse in at some point once the elements have had a go at it. But great series of images from Rebecca Litchfield. The next one is, well, we'll do Peter McDiarmid's, and this is to do with World War One. And these are World War One photographs superimposed into modern times. What Peter has done with these is he's found some images from World War One. All of them are set in the UK. The first one that we come across is Blenheim Palace. And what he's done is he's blended two images together, the old one, and then he's taken a new one, taken now. And what's startling is how the years sort of fall away. It's compressing time, really. And you realise that these places were not once just tourist destinations. They ended up being places where men recuperated after hideous wounds. The second shot is of American troops marching down the Sloane Street in West London, and the two images are being blended together beautifully, just like all of them have. And the thing that just sticks out is you've got a column of American troops walking marching down the road, not walking, marching down the road with their flags flying, and then in the background, almost looks as though it's following them, is a red, modern red London bus. It's just a fantastic way of compressing time and showing that these streets have history, and it's just a remarkable way of doing it. I have seen some images by other photographers where they've gone out and photographed places, battlefields, but it's very, very difficult to make the leap in imagination and imagine the chaos and the terror and the horror and the loss of life and the sheer destruction of a World War One battlefield when you are looking at a beautiful, pristine crop field. It takes a bit of a leap of the imagination, whereas Peter McDiarmid's images make that leap for you. So, fantastic set of images. The next shot is... this is also a war one. This came up on the Life website. I really enjoyed looking at these images, and this is Larry Burroughs, Caisson and Operation Pegasus, scenes from Vietnam, 1968. Larry Burroughs is one of my favourite photographers. His approach to photography, his attitude, his just the sheer quality of his work just make this a must-see, really. There's 28 images, and really, it's just the quality of the portraits of the men and telling the story of what's going on at Caisson at that point. And I tend to think, really, that a lot of photojournalists these days could learn a lot off of someone like Larry Burroughs. He engaged with his subjects in a fantastic way. The quality of his work was absolutely superb. He did brilliant portraits, seemingly without actually being able to give away the fact that he was taking their portrait. A classic example of that on the gallery is, I think it's image number 5. There's just a GI with his M16 leaning against his shoulder, and he's just lost in thought, really. Hopefully that GI made it back home, and if he did, he's got a good shot of him doing his duty for his country. But moving, artillery pieces, great photo of a radio man. Artillery working, of course, with the shells, wounded, and of course some evacuating people via helicopter. The portraits, though, I think, of the GIs are especially fascinating, though, the way that they customised their gear, wrote on their hat, and it's just a snapshot of the period. And of course, Larry spent a lot of time over there and was sadly killed in 1971 when his helicopter was shot down. So he was a photographer who didn't actually survive the war, which was a tragic thing, because I think he would have had a lot to offer the photo community had he survived. I mean, he would have been in his... I would imagine he'd have been in his 80s by now. But he did a lot of work away from Vietnam. He's probably going to be known for ever and ever as a Vietnam War photographer, but he did a lot of work in India and Southeast Asia and Africa, working as a photojournalist, and he also was an expert at photographing paintings as well. When he wasn't working in Vietnam, he would often be seen doing copy shots of paintings that could be used for postcards and publications and things. So he did a lot of work outside of war photography, to such an extent that I would actually say that calling him a war photographer is not really correct. So that is Larry Burroughs. That was a great gallery. It was a real treat to look at that work. Talking about a treat, this next one is another cracking example of photography online. This is a film by Michael Almereyda. That's it. I knew I'd get it right. This is about Chris Killop, Skinning Grove it's called. It's a 15-minute film. It is definitely worth a watch. It's my recommended link for this podcast. And the filmmaker has made a film where Chris Killop talks about his work in the North Yorkshire fishing village of Skinning Grove, where he went in the early 80s and he photographed them in the 1980s, photographing the community, their way of life, the fishing, the people, portraits, documentary, landscape, it's all there. And this film shows some of the shots that didn't make it into publication because some of the Skinning Grove work was used in Chris Killop's classic book In Flagranti, which was published in 1988. A fantastic book if you can get your hands on it. Whether you're interested in documentary photography or not, it's a classic. And but the film not only shows this unpublished work, but it also gives an excellent demonstration about the relationship that Chris Killop had towards his subjects. He was very interested in the people he was photographing. He would stay with them, he would live with them, he would talk to them, he would understand what they were about, what they were trying to do, and that definitely comes across in this film. And it's probably, it's a recommended watch from me on in two respects. First of all is the photography itself, and the second reason is because of the attitude that the photographer has. There's quite a few photographers now who seem as though they have this very detached attitude towards their subjects, and I'm not a big fan of Martin Parr for that reason. I see him as very voyeuristic. He almost to the point of mocking his subjects in some cases, in some of the images. So, yes, Skinning Grove is definitely worth a look. The next one is Commonwealth Games 2014. This is just a quick link. 25 of the best photos from Glasgow. This is from Johnny Weeks, who's a sports editor for The Guardian, and he's sports picture editor. And he looked through 82,346 photographs and has come up with 25 of the best from Glasgow. And there's some cracking shots, boxing, gymnastics, weightlifting, swimming, diving, cycling. It's all in there. And it's a great collection from Commonwealth Games. Commonwealth Games that went absolutely fantastic for Glasgow. It was great. I didn't actually watch any of it, but it was absolutely wonderful. And that, I believe, is the last of my links. So that is it. So until next time, thanks for downloading the podcast and having a listen. I will be back next time with some more links, and there'll also be a special location podcast coming up very soon, so keep an eye out for that. Until next time, thanks for listening, and I will see you all next in September.